המשבח.
Mishnah Megillah says that when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, we don't fast in advance of Tisha B'Av, we move the Tanis till Sunday. And the same if Shavuos B'Tammuz falls out on Shabbos, Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, Shavuos B'Tammuz. Why is Ma'acharim V'loi Magdimim? Why do we fast later? So the Gemara says, because Agdomi Paranusa Loi Magdiminon. The whole Tanis is because of Avelus. Shavuos B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av is all because of Avelus. So we're not interested in observing the Abelus in advance. Bad enough, we have to observe the Abelus when it comes. So if you can't fast on Shabbos, then you fast on Sunday. The one exception to the rule is Tainus Esther. When Purim falls out on Sunday, so Tainus Esther is normally the day before Purim, so it should be on Shabbos. They can't fast on Shabbos. That's a din d'oraisa, you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos, so we fast on earlier. We fast on Thursday. How come we're Magdim? So the Rishonim explain. It's not Avelus. It's not an Avelus. Yeah, it's a Tainus Shel Simcha. Right? That's what the Sefer HaEshkol writes like that. The Baal HaMor is bothered with Akash. Baal HaMor was a Talmud of the Sefer HaEshkol. Sefer HaEshkol is written by the Ravid, and his daughter married the famous Ravid. There were three Ravids. One wrote a history book, so he's never quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. And the other two wrote Svarim in Halacha. So the father-in-law wrote the Sefer Heshkol, and the son-in-law is the Rabbi who wrote the comments on the side of the Rambam, on the bottom of the Rif. And the Rabbi, the son-in-law, learned Bechavrusa with the Baal HaMor, with Rabbi Nizrachi Alei. So they both bothered with it. All the Rishonim are bothered with this Kasha, Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYekayam, and they observed the Yamim Tovim of Megillas Tainis. Chanukah and Purim were part of this big list of Yamim Tovim that they observed, that they used to observe as Man Bai Sheni. So the Brisa in the Megillas Tainis says the day before and the day after also you're not allowed to fast. Lifnei Malachrem is also to fast. So how can it be that they had a Tainis Esther on Erev Purim? It's impossible. How can it be? The day before you're not allowed to fast. So all the Rishonim work on this Kasha. So in the Sefer Heshkol, the father-in-law Ravid writes, he thinks the Torah says you're not allowed to fast the day before if there's a tzara, if there's some kind of a problem. But the Tainus Esther, that's a Tainus Shel Simcha, that's not a Tainus Shel Avelus. We're not commemorating some tragedy that occurred. We're commemorating the fact that the Jews were victorious in battle. They were fasting on Yud Gimel and the prayers were answered and they were victorious in battle. And we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He should be with us now. He should continue to give us Hatzlach and Yeshuas and Nechamas and so on. So that's what he says, since it's a Tainus Shel Simcha, so it's not included in the prohibition that the day before and the day after a Yontav of Megillas Tainus, you're not allowed to fast. This is a happy Tanis. This is not a sad Tanis. So that's why we assume in Shulchan Aruch that when Purim falls out on a Sunday, you are Magdim, the Tainus Esther. You don't push it off till Monday, up till Tuesday. You're Magdim, the Tainus Esther, because it's not a Puranis. This Tanis is not an Inyan of Avelus. This is a Tainus Shel Simcha. That's why the Shagas Aryeh is of the opinion that there's no, in the sense of Shulchan Aruch, there's no chinuch for fasting Tanesim with the exception of Yom Kippur. The Mishnah says in the last Perek in Yom, that's how the Gemara explains the Mishnah, that 2 years before Bar Mitzvah, before Bas Mitzvah, the girl becomes Bas Mitzvah at the age of 12 and the boy 13. So 2 years before, if they're healthy, if they're up to it, they should really fast the whole day long. And 2 years before, 2 years before, if they're up to it, they should really fast the half a day. Before that, it's not proper to have them fast at all. So the Mishnah talks about chinuch by fasting on Yom Kippur. What about chinuch fasting on Tisha B'Av and Shavuos B'Tammuz and Asara B'Tammuz and Tzom Gedalia? So doesn't say in the Shulchan Aruch. Many have a minig that the last three Tanesim before the child becomes by mitzvah they fast. So that's in Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say like that. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Achrayim. In the Shulchan Aruch, doesn't say. Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Achrayim, you don't have the child fast at all. Even if tomorrow is going to become Bar Mitzvah tomorrow, Erev Bar Mitzvah, he doesn't fast. The only one who fasts is Yom Kippur. 2 years before Bar Mitzvah, he fasts the whole day if he's up to it. 2 years before that, he should fast a half a day. The Shaila is, oh, so why is that so? How come there's no chinuch for Tanesim? So the Rav Moshe has a tshuva, so he quotes the Shagasar. Shagasar said, because all the Tanaisim are an inyan of Avelos, and we paskin, there's a big machlekes in the Goinim, and we paskin, there's no chinach on Avelos. Someone dies and he leaves children who are so young that they're before Bar Mitzvah. So even though the child is close to Bar Mitzvah, we paskin, there's no chinach on Avelos. If he wants to go to yeshiva, he should go and learn. Probably will not want to go. He just lost his parent. He just lost a brother or something. Probably will not be in the mood to go learn in yeshiva. But we pass on halacha that there's no chinach on avelus for whatever reason. So that's what the Shagazari says. There's no chinach on fasting. Asar b'teves, shivasa b'tamos, some gedalia and so on. Because all of those tanesim are an inyan of observance of avelus. But tainus esther, which is a tainus shel simcha, so this should really be like Yom Kippur. We should really say that 2 years before Bar Mitzvah, they should fast the whole day if they're up to it, if they're able to. And 2 years before that, they should fast the half a day. Should be the same as Yom Kippur. Yeah, Yom Kippur is their Isa here. It's only a minig, it's much less. But the whole reason, according to the Shagasar, the whole reason why there's no chinach on Tonis is because it's Avelus. So this Tainus Esther is not at all Avelus. Tainus Esther is a Tainus Shal Simcha. Now Moshe Feinstein doesn't agree with the Shagasar. He thinks that it's a different time. He thinks that it's uncomfortable. You don't have to pinek the child that he should have to fast. The Mishnah says Yom Kippur. He says Yom Kippur is an exception to the rule. But the other Tanaisim, he doesn't think that it's because of Avelus. He thinks that, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, that children before Bar Mitzvah are permitted to eat before Kiddush, even though adults are not allowed to eat before Kiddush. If the child wants to eat, so you don't tell him, you're not allowed to eat until you make Kiddush. You don't have to pinek a child. You tell them, when you become Bar Mitzvah, you can eat now all you want. How do we give the wine to the children in shul? When Chaz makes Kiddush in shul on Friday night, so we usually give it to a katan. How are you allowed to give it to the katan? He's not allowed to eat before Kiddush. And no one's used to the Kiddush in shul because you have to have Kiddush b'makom mesudar, the location where you're having the meal. So the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Kar explains in the Beis Yosef that the prohibition against eating before a Kiddush, there's no chinuch on that. We would permit the children to eat before Kiddush. There's no chinuch on that. So that's what Rav Moshe thinks, that there's no chinuch on fasting Tanaisim, with the one exception of Yom Kippur. So when Purim falls out on Sunday, so we magdim the Tanis earlier. When are we magdim it? So in Shulchan Aruch, it says you magdim till Thursday. And if there was a bris on Thursday, so then you have the people fast on Friday. Yeah, in the days of the Rishonim, this was a big machlekes. Should you be magdim the Tanis to Friday? Instead, you're not going to fast on Shabbos. Should you be magdim Tanis Esther to Friday, or should you be magdim it to Thursday? So some Rishonim held there's a Mishnah in Tanis that says that you're not supposed to be going to Tanis on a Friday. It's not proper to fast on Friday all day. Kadesha lei kanis l'Shabbos kishehu meuna. You're not supposed to eat steak dinners on Friday afternoon. You shouldn't eat major meals. Magen Avraham said you shouldn't eat fleishiks on Friday. Magen Avraham quotes from the Shaloh, it's not proper to have a fleishik meal on Friday. Out of covered Shabbos, Leil Shabbos, you should have a strong appetite to enjoy Suda Shabbos. But on the other hand, it's also not proper to fast the whole day on Friday. The Gemara quotes in Erev and Daf Mem, there were opinions in the days of the Tanoim. Rabbi Kiva was of the opinion that if Tisha B'Av falls out on a Friday, by us it never happens. Only Asar B'Tavis can fall out on a Friday. So in the days of the Tanoim, they didn't have yet a fixed calendar, so Tisha B'Av could fall out on a Friday. Rabbi Kiva says you have to break the fast late in the afternoon in order that Kadesh Allah Yikonis L'Shabbos Kishuhu Me'una. You shouldn't enter Shabbos. On the one hand, you're not allowed to have big parties on Friday. That's a violation of Kvot Shabbos. You should save the big pleasant meal for Friday night. On the other hand, you're not allowed to fast the whole day. That's also improper. There's a discussion in the Shulchan Aruch. What do you do if a person has Yahrzeit? So if the Yahrzeit falls out on Friday, does he fast? Does he not fast? So they discuss it. Is it proper? Now, we paskin, let's say, Asar B'Tavis sometimes falls out on the Shabbos. So we paskin Misano Mashlin. That's the Gemara's Maskana. We don't follow Rebbe Kiva's opinion. Kiva holds you have to break the fast and eat, and we don't accept his opinion. So the Mishnah says it's not proper to be Ein Gozim Tainus Ala Tzibur on Friday. If you have a choice of either fasting on Thursday or Friday, you say you don't pick Friday, pick a different day. In order, Kadesh Lo Yikanes L'Shabbos Kishuhu Me'unu. So that's a shaila over here. If you're being magdim, Taina says that you're going to move it up. You can't fast on Shabbos. So should you move it up to Friday? Should you move it up to Thursday? So our practice is we move it up to Thursday because it's like Ein Gozim Taina Salat Tzibur on Friday. Other Rishonim held not so.
You have to prepare for Shabbos on Friday.
They can prepare while they're fasting. Okay. Nishgefela. They can prepare without eating. Yeah. So many Rishonim Baravdia had the practice that they fasted on Friday. They didn't fast on Thursday. The Mishnah in Taina says, you're not Goyz at Tainus Lachatchila Friday. Here we're not being Goyz at Tainus. This is an alter meaning that you fast. Taina says that you can't fast on Shabbos. They fast the day before Shabbos. You don't postpone it. It's not a Puronis. It's a happy thing. It's a Taina Shal Simcha. So why not fast on Friday? Was a Shlecht. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, that whenever Purim would fall out on a Sunday, and Tainus Esther's moved up to Thursday, so his grandfather Rav Chaim was a Levi, so they would like to give him the Aliyah all the time by the Kriyas HaTorah, by Mincha, and Tainus Sibur, so he would avoid it. He would ask him not to give him an Aliyah, because according to some Rishonim, there's not supposed to be any Kriyas HaTorah on Thursday, it's supposed to be on Friday. The Tainus is supposed to be on Friday. So he said his grandfather would avoid getting an Aliyah, when like this year, when you're fasting on Thursday, no, Amidas Chassidus.
Thursday
morning, yeah. Thursday morning, you're laying the Parsha Sashon.
To Mincha.
That's a shadow. There's a tshuva and a netziv that there was a Hachnasa Sefer Torah. I think it was in Chicago, either Chicago or Cincinnati or something. And after they were dancing in the street with music and everything, when they brought the Sefer Torah to the shul, so the Balabatim decided that they're going to auction off the aliyahs and they're going to lay in Kriyas HaTorah when it was a regular Sunday afternoon. It wasn't Sheni B'Chamishi, and they gave aliyahs and they said brachas. So they started the whole tumult, was it a bracha l'batola or not? So the Netziv has a tshuva, they asked him. So he thought that it's not proper. He thought, if it's Sheni B'Chamishi, a day on which there is a Takonas Chacham Telein, Parshas HaShavua, so then he thinks you're allowed to lay in a second time. You're allowed to lay in another parsha is okay. But if it's a day, Sunday or Tuesday or Wednesday, a day on which normally there's no Kriyas HaTorah, so he thought, we said Birchas HaTorah in the morning. So what are we going to say another Birchas HaTorah over an Aliyah? That's only if there's a Takanas Chachamim. If it's a day on which there's no Takanas Chachamim to lay in Kriyas HaTorah, so he felt that that's an issue of Brochel HaBatol. He felt that it's not right. This is a shaila. What do you do? We learn Kriyas HaTorah on Purim. The Gemara says you give three aliyahs, Kriyas HaTorah on Purim. Which day is Purim? So if you live in a near Hamakefes Chaim Moshe Shul Ben Nun, so you observe Purim and you learn Kriyas HaTorah, you do all the mitzvahs on Tezvav, on Shushan Purim. If you live in a normal city, not a Mukav Chaim Moshe Shul Ben Nun, so you do all the mitzvahs on Yudal. Then the Gemara says there are certain cities which are Sofek. Tzfat is a Sofek. Tveria, the Gemara has certain Lud. There are certain cities that are a suffix. So what do you do if there's a suffix? So you read the Megillah on both days. Fine. And the Rambam says, you say the Brachon Yudalad, you don't say the Brachon Tazvah. What about Kriyas HaTorah? So this was a big halabaloo, big machlekes in the days of the Beis Yosef. And the Sfaradish Achranim in Eretz Yisrael, the Sfaradish Achranim have a lot. All the cities that are Mesupakos, they're all in Eretz Yisrael. Some say that Prague is also a suffix, whether it was Mukav Chaim Moshe Shul Ben Nun. But most of the cities that there's a suffix about were in Eretz Yisrael. And in the 1500s, they had this big issue. So in many of the communities, they lay in Kriyas HaTorah with a bracha on both days. What do you mean on both days? What? It should be, maybe you should lay in misafik, but how can you say a bracha? Don't we usually assume suffix brachas lahakal? So apparently they held that's not a problem. Whenever you lay in Kriyas HaTorah with tzibu, you got to say a bracha. There's a tshuva in the Torah's refuel like that. Taras Rafael is the son-in-law of the Netziv. The son-in-law. The Rab Chaim Soloveitchik married the daughter of the Taras Rafael, who was the son-in-law of the Netziv. So the Taras Rafael has a tshuva where he talks about the Chassidish practice that they lay in the Yud Beis Nisim, the first 12 days in the Chodesh Nisan, they'll take out a Sefer Torah in some Chassidish Shtiblach, take out a Sefer Torah, and they'll lay in each day the carbon that the Nasi brought on the first day of Chodesh Nisan, the second day, and so on. On a lot of shuls, the lane Leil Hoshanah Rabbah, they'll open up the Sefer Torah and lane. Or Leil Shavuos, on a lot of shuls, the lane from a Sefer Torah, the lane. Oh, so the shaila is, are you supposed to say a bracha or not? So the minig is they lane without a bracha.
Yeah,
Also the Torah Sefer says the Oivra Din Deraisa, because the Yerushalmi holds, that's what he calls, the Yerushalmi holds that Birchas HaTorah is only Deraisa when you're leaning B'tzibur. When a person learns privately, you wake up in the morning, I say Birchas HaTorah, I'm going to learn, that's only Takana Derabonim. The real Din Deraisa, Kishem Hashem Ekro HaBegodol HaLakeinu, when you learn you have to recite Birchas HaTorah. So the Torah Sefer quotes, according to the Yerushalmi, that Din Deraisa only applies when it's Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur. Talmud Torah B'yochid, isn't it? So he claims that the Chassidish practice is against Halacha. If you're leaning already from a Sefer Torah, the first 12 days of Chodesh Nisan, you must say a bracha. It's required. And if you're going to lean from a Sefer Torah on Leil Hoshana Rabbah, Leil Shavuos, whatever, you must say a bracha. Then it's if his father-in-law held Fakir. His father-in-law holds like the Bavli, not like the Yerushalmi. We usually assume Birchas HaTorah in the morning, that's a din deraisa. Every day, once a day, you have to recite Birchas HaTorah before you start learning. But the Birchas HaTorah that you recite when you get an aliyah, that's only midirabbanon, and that's only if they made a takana. On the day on which they made a takana, Kriyas HaTorah, so then you learn, you say a bracha. If they didn't make a takana, isn't it? So that was a big dispute. What do you do when you have a city which is a suffix? If you have a city that's a suffix, well, it's Mukav Choyma, and Yos Yeshua Ben Nun. So Rabbi Yosef Kara said that they should lain on both days with a bracha. And others hold not so. Others hold that you don't. You lain without a bracha. So that's the shaila. That was the machlokes, the nitziv, with the Torah Sefer Foil.
Torah Sefer Foil, anytime you lain tzibur, even if that a takana is called Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur?
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be a takana?
That's what he holds.
And the nitziv would argue with that, or even with that? He'd agree with that, but it still doesn't matter.
Yeah, the Nesiv holds that the bracha over an aliyah is only a takana midirabbanan. That's not a din deraisa. The din deraisa Birchas HaTorah is that the yochid should recite Birchas HaTorah. So when I said Birchas HaTorah in the morning, they give me an aliyah. So that's, you only say a bracha when you get an aliyah on a day on which there's a takana chacham. If you're going to lay on a Sunday, there was no takana chacham. So then he says, there'll be a bracha levatola. Because he already said Birchas HaTorah in the morning. That's how the Nesiv holds. And Torah Sefer Foil, the son of the Halt Faket, he holds like the Yerushalmi.
But he agreed you would be Mevarech on Leil Simchas Torah. Then it's it.
What about it?
Leil Simchas Torah, the meaning is that everybody does say a bracha.
Right.
So, yes, so that's a shada. What is that all about?
Right.
Why does everybody agree over there?
Right.
So the Maharsham has a tshuva. Maharsham was asked, I don't know, I'm not sure when the Maharsham lived. When did he die? He sounds like, I seem to remember, he's writing a tshuva under when communism was already started. I'm not sure that he lived so late. He has a tshuva. The government requires of people that Jewish children, must go to school on Shabbos. So they avoid writing. They don't take any notes. They don't carry. But they have to sit in school the whole day. So how can they daven? So they daven at the crack of dawn. They daven. How can they can't? Or they daven in between classes on Shabbos. But how do they learn Kriyas HaTorah? So the Maharsham has a tshuva. Let them learn Kriyas HaTorah Friday night. They don't have to go to school Friday night. So how do you say such a thing? You learn Kriyas HaTorah Friday night. You're supposed to learn in between Shachris and Musaf. So he says in between Shachris and Musaf, that spot is not lihikuva. Anytime you lay on Shabbos is good, even if you lay on Friday night. V'haray is up there that we lay on Simchas Torah night. With brachas, that's tomorrow morning's Kriyas HaTorah. So you see, you can be yotze the Kriyas HaTorah of a takanas rachamim to have Kriyas HaTorah in the morning. You can be yotze if you lay in the Kriyas HaTorah balayla. So he said the same thing every Shabbos. If you want to lay in Kriyas HaTorah, normally you're supposed to lay in Kriyas HaTorah between Shachris and Musa. But if you have a big Shas HaTrak, then he's maker. You can lay in Kriyas HaTorah on Friday night. So I think that probably the Netziv would agree. If you're going to lay in Leil Simchas Torah, that the meaning is that you do say a bracha. I remember Rav Soloveitchik said halacha lemaisa about the difference between Tainis Esther and the other Tanesim, that in Shulchan Aruch, the Bir Agro and Hilchas Tainis quotes from the Ramban in the Torah Sa'odom. Ramban was a doctor, so he wrote a whole sefer, Torah Sa'odom, about all the dinim that you have to know when a baby is born and when the person gets sick and what you have to do, what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do, when you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos, amalacha deraisa, amalacha derabbanan, how sick is the patient, sakana sever, achalash em besakana, yesh besakana, all the various dinim. In fact, everything in Shulchan Aruch, in the end of Yeridaya, everything is based on the Ramban. All the different sections of Shulchan Aruch are based on different Rishonim. So at the end of Shulchan Aruch Yeridei, Chelek Gimel is all based on the Ramban and Toras Ha'adam. He has the dinim Hilchas Roifim, then he has the dinim, what about when the person dies, about observing Aninus and observing Avelus, and then the Ramban has there all of the dinim of Hilchas Tisha B'Av, because observance of Tisha B'Av is also Avelus. He has everything over there. So the Ramban comes to explain in his Toras Ha'adam, why is it that on Yom Kippur we observe Chamisha Yinuyim? Not only do we not eat, we don't permit Nilas Asandol and Sichosh and Rechitza, Tashma Shamita. How come on the other Tane, how come on Tisha B'Av you also observe Chamisha Yinuyim? How come on Aser B'Tavis and some Gedalian Shavasa B'Tamas we don't observe all the Chamisha Yinuyim? So the Ramban develops the following idea, and the Vilna Gaon quotes it in Hilchas Tainus. Mi'ikar Adin, when it was really required, Midiri Kabbalah, based on the instruction of the Navi, that you have to fast all of the Tzomer Avi, Tzomer Chamisha, Tzomer Shvi, Tzomer Asiri, Yimuchiv Midiri Kabbalah to fast on these Taneisim. One would be Muchiv to fast Leilo Kiyomo, all 24 hours, like Tisha B'Av, and one would be obligated to observe all the Chamisha Inuyim. Bizman Hazeh, if you live in a country where there's no open persecution against the Jews, so the Gemara says, as far as the Novi is concerned, is Ratzim Misanim, Ratzim Misanim, it's optional. If you don't want to fast, you don't have to. But we assume, Taisus quotes from the Halachas Gedolos, Kvashav, you are Laichaiva. The minig is that Klal Yisrael has accepted it as a chayv. So the Ramban says, the minig only is that we accepted it to fast in the daytime, not at nighttime. And we only have the minig to observe Achilo Shtiyah, and the other Inuyim we don't observe. But what happens if the person take that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say during the war years when the Nazis were killing Jews. So those who were mamish b'sakana in Europe, they were mechuyif to fast mi'ikar adin. There was open persecution against the Jewish people there. So they're mechuyif to fast all the taneis and mi'ikar adin. So he said, many gedolim told their keilas that they have to fast 24 hours, not only on Tisha B'Av, on Asar B'Tavis, some gedali, shavasa b'tamis, you have to fast Leil Kiyomo and all the chamisha inuim. So that's why the Mogen Avram writes that even though it says you only have to fast Bayom and not Balayla and Shivasa B'Tamis, some Gedali and so on, and you only have to observe Achilu Shtir, you don't have to observe the other Inuyim, but it would constitute a Midas Chasidus to observe all the Chamisha Inuyim and to fast Leila Kiyomo, to observe everything. Unless the Mogen Avram says he's not going to wear shoes, so then he's advertising that he's going to walk around sneakers. Everybody's wearing leather shoes, and he's going to walk around in sneakers. Except that's not nice. He prophesies on Midas Chasidus, and he's demonstrating, he's publicly demonstrating his Midas Chasidus. So the Mogen Avraham says, that's not right. Your shoes you should wear in order that you shouldn't demonstrate in public. Or let's say, if one is going to observe as a Midas Chasidus on Shivasa B'Tamis and some Gedalia, and Asar B'Tavis, Leila Kiyomo, and Isa Tashma Shamita. So let's say his wife comes home from the mikveh that night. So Leil Tvilosa is a Chiyavayna. What is going to prove Amidas Chasidus? He doesn't want to be with his wife. That's against the Halacha. So that's not proper to observe Amidas Chasidus to be in violation of a real din. Since Mikra Din, it's only Ratzim Misanim, Ratzim Misanim. It's optional. And the meaning only is Kvashayu Alaychov, only to fast in the daytime, not in the nighttime, and only to observe Achilu Shtiyah. We're not mechuyev to observe the other inuyim. So even if one wants to volunteer, it doesn't make sense to volunteer keneged adin. But they recommend one should observe all the chamisha inuyim. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say that chumr that the Magen Avraham says based on the Ramban, that it constitutes a midas chasidus to fast leila kiyomo on Asar B'Tavis and some Gedalia and all the chamisha inuyim, that's only on Asar B'Tavis and Gedalia Shavasa B'Tamuz, but not on Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther was never introduced in the first place as a Tainus Shel Avelus. It's a Tainus Shel Simcha. So he said, there never is such a minig to be machmer. Never was a minig, that's what he thought. Never was a minig to be machmer for all of the Chamisha Inuim or Leila Kiyoma by Tainus Esther. Usually, Tosis writes in Megillah, Dav Dalet and Manalaf, usually, when you dav Mairiv, on Leil Purim, so usually when you finish Ma'ariv, there is no Chazoras Hashatz. So when everybody finishes Shmona Esrei, so on a normal day the Chazan says Kaddish Tiskabel, and everybody says Aleinu. Then Yosem says the Kaddish Yosem after the Aleinu. On Leil Purim, since we plan to read the Megillah, so we don't say Kaddish Tiskabel right away. Most have the meaning. You don't say Kaddish Tiskabel right away. You save the Tiskabel till after the Mikra Megillah. What's that? This? Because the Gemara says in the beginning of Megillah, Davdala Ramin Aleph, that the Mikra Megillah is a form of Tfilah. Not only is it Kriyas Kisvi HaKodesh, you're learning from the Tanakh, it's a form of Tfilah. Even though you don't say Shem Hashem anything, but it's implicit. We tell over the whole story, and we believe that there was a Hashgacha Pratis that the Rabbanu Shel Olam saved us on that occasion, and we're implying that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us on that occasion, He should take care of us now as well. So it's an implicit form of tefillah. That's what the Gemara says on Dalet Amud Aleph in Gemara Megillah. How do you know you have to lay in the Megillah by Yom or Balayla? So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim, Alakayek or Yom Valaisana, Balayla Velo Domiyuli. I pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Balayla, and if He doesn't answer my prayers, I pray again by Yom. You don't just daven once, you should repeat the tefillah. Moshe Rabbeinu davened many times. V'eschanan el Hashem. The Medrash says how many hundreds of tefillahs he offered. The more you mispalel, the better your chances are that your prayers will be answered. So we assume that Mikra Megillah is not only a kiyum of Kriyas Tanakh, Kriyas Ksuvim B'Tzibur, it's a kiyum of tefillah. So we save the Kaddish Tiskabel till after the Mikra Megillah. So that's a shaila this year that Purim falls out on Matzoy Shabbos. A lot of shuls are going to daven Ma'ariv Bizman. Then they're going to have a 45-minute hafsoka. Mm-hmm. So everyone should go home and drive their wives back, whatever. Everyone's going to be Yisarat Tachanan Tonu. So strictly speaking, you're allowed to do malachas. It just says, even after Yisarat Tachanan Tonu, but you didn't say Havdolah Lakos, so you shouldn't really do any heavy malachas. So it's Taka Shaila, you're allowed to drive a car. That's a question. But that's everybody does it. So in a lot of shuls, they're going to have a long hafsoka. So that's a big machloikas. The Maharil and others have a whole discussion. This year, if you're going to daven Ma'ariv right after Shabbos is over, there's going to be a pause of a half an hour, 45 minutes, then you're going to read the Megillah. So does it make sense to leave out Kaddish, to say just Kaddish Sholem without Tiskabel, and then rely on the Tiskabel after Mikra Megillah to cover both the Mikra Megillah and the davening of Ma'ariv? Maybe you should say Tiskabel twice. You should say Tiskabel after Shmona Esrei, and say a second time after you read the Megillah. So the Maril, I think, says that even if it's going to be a long pause, you still don't say Tiskabel after the Shmanas. You rely on the Tiskabel at the end. And other Achranim say not so. They're different in Hagim.
Those of you who are familiar to say Hallel and Shul and Pesach night, they don't say Kaddish after Shmanas, do they? They say
not supposed to.
Not supposed to.
Not so supposed to.
Kriyas Megillah is like a Hallel, so why would we say, why can't we incorporate it the same way as we incorporate a Hallel on Pesach night?
I mean, why do you say even why do you say Kaddish at all?
Yeah,
why do you say Kaddish at all? I don't know. Interesting question.
Kriyas says that is a Halutha, right? It's a Hallel.
Why is it different? I don't know. It's a good question. Mola Yamir Taivim and Megillah Steinis in Shulchan Aruch, the Achrayim pose a question: how come there's a contrast between Chanukah and Purim? How come on Purim there's a mitzvah Suda, and Chanukah there's no mitzvah Suda? Truth of the matter is that it's a much bigger question than that. It's not just Chanukah versus Purim. Bizman Shabbos Hamikdash Hayikam, they used to have every month in a Donishtik was another Yontif. They used to have around 50 Yamim Taivim in the course of the year. Every week there was another Yontif. Like Chanukah goes for 8 days, so they had Yom Tov for 3 days, for 2 days, for 1 day, for 8 days, a week and a half, 10 days. That on Ashiya Yom Tov. All of these Yom Tov, like by the Chassidim, all these Yom Tov, you don't say Tachnun, and Bizman Bayisheni. You don't say Hespedim, you don't say Asa the Hespedim Betainus. So the Geoinim ask a bigger question, not just Chanukah versus Purim. All the 50 Samad, Yamim Tovim, and Megillah Steinis, none of them have a Chiyuv Suda. Only Purim. It's not just a question Chanukah versus Purim. It's a question all the Yamim Tovim versus Purim. So the Mordechai Megillah quotes from the Gaonim. We have it in the Shiltas like that. That the reason why Purim is singled out is because Purim is Yom Kabbalah Satorah. Because the Gemara comments on the Pasuk in Megillah Esther, Ayuhim Kima Bekiblu. What does it mean? Miloshin Kabbalah Satorah. Kima Mashi Kiblu Kvar. They ratified the Kabbalah Satorah. Originally at Har Sinai, the Gemara has a tradition that it was Kofaleim Har Kegigas. They didn't really want to accept the Torah. Certain parts of the Torah they didn't want to accept. So in the days of Mordechai V'Esther, Hori Kiblu B'mei Achashverosh. After the Nes of Purim, so the Bnei Yisrael was so excited, so they did accept the Torah Baratzim. And the Gemara says that there's a machlokes hatanaim, machlokes ablezer, Rabbi Shua, the Gemara in Beitza has, the Gemara in Pesachim has, a machlokes hatanaim. How is one supposed to observe Yontif? So Rabbi Lezer says, Okula Lashem, Okula Lachem, because there's a steer between two psukim. One pasuk says, Atzeres Lashem Alakecha, you should dedicate the whole day to davening and learning and to ruchnias, digger things. The other pasuk says, Atzeres Tialachem, you should eat and drink and make merry. So what do you do when you have Shnei Ksuvim HaMakrishim says that there is no Kosov HaShlishi Shiachriya Benim? We happen to meet a Shatarin Adeshes Bam, the last one, the Shnei Ksuvim HaMakrishim Zezeh, Hashav HaKosov HaShlishi Shiachriyam. What if you have Shnei Ksuvim and there is no Kosov HaShlishi? So that's a Machlek HaBlezer and Rabbi Shua. So HaBlezer says, it's self-understood, either A or B. Whenever there's a contradiction, either this or that. So HaBlezer says, on a Yom Tov, the correct way to observe it is you should, you have a little tuna fish sandwich, whatever, you have lachem mishnah, okay. But not to have elaborate meals, you should either learn all day, daven all day, and just have slight meals, or you should eat and drink and make merry, okula lachem, okula lachem. And we don't pass like Rabbi Lezer, we pass like Rabbi Shua. Whenever you have shnei ksuvim hamakrishim zezeh, there is no kosov hashlishi. So we paskin that we figure out a hachra on our own. So that's what Rabbi Shua says. So the Gemara says this machlokes hatanaim between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shua only applies to Pesach, to Sukkot, maybe to Rosh Hashanah. But on Shavuos hakol moedim, all the tanaim agree. Even Rabbi Lezer agrees you have to have an elaborate meal because Yom Shenitna baTorah, the day on which you receive the Torah. You must have elaborate meals. That's what the Meforshim on the Gemara ask. Why shouldn't it be Fakir? And then which the Torah was given, you should dedicate all day long. Kula Torah. What's that? Because Yom Shinit Matar. So that's what the Meforshim say. That the Pasuk says at the end of Mishpatim, Bayechso Salakim, Bayochlo Bayishtu. On the occasion of Kabbalah Satorah, so they made a big party. So the Medrash says, Mikan Shos Mesuda Legemer Shal Torah. Just like on the occasion of Kabbalah Satorah, it says Vayochla Bayishtu. So when you make a Siyam Masichta, you make a Siyam Mishnayis, whatever, so you're supposed to throw a big party. So Shavuos is Yom Kabbalah Satorah. So that's why you have to have Mikan Shos Masuda Legem Rishal Torah. All the Tanoim agree. So that's what the Goinim say, that the reason why Purim was singled out from all the 50 Yomim Tovim and Megillah Steinis, not just Chanukah versus Purim, it's all the other Yomim Tovim, there's no Chiyav Suda. The only one that has a Chiyav Suda is Purim. So the Goyim say the reason why is because Kima v'Kiblo, Kima Mashi Kiblo Kvar. It's Yom Kabbalah Satorah. They had the Girs in the Gemara like that. See, on that daf in Psochim, daf Samaches, the Gemara says the Machleg Zablezer of Yeshua, how do you observe Pesach? How do you observe Sukkot? How do you observe Rosh Hashanah? Do you say Chalkeh, Chetzel Hashem, Chetzel Lachem? Or do you say Okula Lachem, Okula Lachem because of the Stira? Atzeres Tialachem, Atzeres Hashem Elokechem. So the Gemara says, Hakal Moedim on Shavuos, Bina Nam Elachem Yom Shinit Matar, Hakal Moedim on Purim. So we have the Girs in the Gemara, Hakal Moedim on Purim, because it says, Lassus Sosim Yimei Mishta V'Simcha. So the Goyim had the Girs, Hakal Moedim on Shavuos, because Yom Shinit Matar, Hakal Moedim on Purim, because it's also Yom Shinit Matar. That's the Girs of Sagoyim in the Gemara. So that's what the Mordechai quotes there. You have to have a Suda on Purim. We assume that it's a Yom Kabbalah Satorah. The Rambam writes that the Suda should be Basa B'Yayin, and the Yayin should be Adelo Yada. In Shulchan Aruch, they don't quote that it has to be Eflation. So some people make a Milchig Suda. So the Rambam writes that that's not proper, just like on Shabbos and Yontif. We insist on Basa B'Yayin. So the Rambam adds on also that the Adelo Yada is not a separate mitzvah to drink Adelo Yada. Adelo Yada is a prat within the Suda. The Suda should be Basa V'Yayin, like on Shabbos and Yontif, and the Yayin should be extra Adelo Yada.
What about on Shavuot? A lot of people have milchek for Shavuot. Is there any relationship to also have it by Purim?
It says that the Ramon Shulchan Aruch says the reason why you have milchiks on Shavuos is because on Shavuos they used to bring a korban that was shtei alechem, two chalas, and normally on every Shabbos and Yom Tov when you say hamoitzi on the lechem mishneh, so the Ramon is of the opinion, that's how it sounds in the Gemara, that you only have to cut one of the chalas and the other one you can put away. But he says on Shavuos, you want to make a zecher l'shtei alechem, so first we have fleishiks, and you eat one challah with the fleishiks. And then in the days of the Ramah, until very recently, they didn't use forks and knives and spoons. They didn't. No, the Nochem also didn't use it. No one, the whole world didn't use eating utensils. So they used to rip apart the chicken with their fingers. The fingers would be all greasy. The fingers would be fleishig. So that loaf of bread that you ate with the fleishigs, you're not allowed to eat milchigs. You're not allowed to use the leftover slices of bread with milchigs later, because it's going to be all ungeschmiert with your fleishig fingers. Or if you had milchigs with the bread, so the fingers would be all full of cheese or all full of milk. Because they used to eat with their fingers until 150 years ago. Everybody ate with their fingers. So that's a din in Shulchan Aruch. That's a Talmud Yerushalmi. The leftover bread from a fleshig meal, you're not allowed to have with milchiks. So that's what the Ramah says. He's explaining, where did the minig come from, that you eat milchiks on Shavuos? So he says, no, the minig is first you have fleshiks, then you have milchiks, in order that you'll have to cut both challahs. You'll have to eat the one challah with the fleshiks and the other challah with the milchiks. So you want to make a zecher l'shtei alechem, to the korban that was brought on Shavuos. So Ramah says you have to have both. You should have fleishiks and milchiks. Even the people who have milchiks, they don't have fleishiks, but you have at least one meal should be fleishik. One meal should be fleishik. One meal should be milchik. You have to have basa v'yayin. Shulchan Aruch says that a lot of people wash just, they just wash a minute before the shkia on Purim, and then they eat the whole meal on Matzai Purim. So it says that that's not proper. The bulk of the meal should really be eaten by Yom. It's not right. Even the benching, it says, there's a big machlekes in Rishonim. If you ate on Shabbos, or you ate on Yontif, you ate on Rosh Chodesh, you ate on Purim, then you're going to, well, the time you're going to bench, it's going to be Ois Purim. It's going to be ready after Rosh Chodesh. Do you recite the Haskoras Hayom? Do you say Yalav Yovah? Do you say Al Anisim? Because the Tchilos Hasuda took place on Purim, or do you say no? You go Bosa Hashto. So that's a big machlokes in the Rishonim. We pass in La Locha, then you go Bosa Tchilos Hasuda. But why should you get involved in a machlokes? Why should one get involved? More correct is, you should bench before the Shkia on Shabbos by Shalosh Shudas. Bench before the Shkia, so you say, on a machlokes. What do you have to bench after the Shkia and rely on the Shita that says it's okay? Bench before the Shkia, ois machlokes. I remember one summer I went to Anset. That's where Rav Soloveitchik had a summer home. His wife liked to go to Anset, so as long as she was alive, he used to go. After she passed away, he didn't want to go back anymore. So there was a minyan, there was barely a minyan for Shachris every day, and on the weekdays. Shabbos there was a minyan. There was barely a minyan for Shachris. Then for Mincha Maariv, for sure there was no minyan on the weekdays. So I remember once it was Rosh Chodesh. It was Rosh Chodesh Av, it was in the summertime. And we daven Mincha B'Yechidus. We were eating by the Meiselmans, and Rav Soloveitchik's mother was benching. She had just finished eating, she was benching. And we washed until the sundown, we sat down to eat. And we started eating on Rosh Chodesh, we're going to bench on Matzoi Rosh Chodesh. So when the Rav's mother finished benching, so she turns to us and she says in Yiddish, the Bochum learn in the yeshivas all their lives and they don't know it's a machlokes or rishonim, where they say, Yalav Yavai, you don't do the way you did. Either you bench before the shkia or you wash after tzeisa kachavim. You don't get involved. She's talking right. In the Shulchan Aruch it says, if it turns out like that, if you started eating by Yom and you finish, you started eating on Shabbos or Yom Tov or Rosh Chodesh or Purim, and then you bench by Laila, so we pass on like that opinion in the Rishon. Why should you get involved in the Machlokes of Rishon? There's 2 days.
Is Sudashulish more make because you have a dinner for Tosefis Shabbos?
The Bir Agro points out that svar. Since on Purim there is no Tosefis, but on Shabbos, and Yom Tov, there is a concept of Tosefis according to Rov HaRishonim. The Rambam isn't Geris. The Rambam holds there's only Tosefis on Yom Kippur. Rambam writes, there's a mitzvah in Atar to be Moshe Mechol HaKodesh on Yom Kippur, before and after Yom Kippur. But on Shabbos and Yom Tov, he doesn't write that Yom Mechuyev to be Moshe. So there's a big deal in Achreinim, what is the Rambam's opinion? So some say, you're not Mechuyev to be Moshe Ben Atar, but the Rabbanon, you are Mechuyev to be Moshe. The Rambam doesn't say that. So others say, you're not Mechuyev Ben Atar, you're not Mechuyev Ben Rabbanon to be Moshe, but if you're Moshe, it's Chal. The Tosefis is Chal. The other Achreinim say, the Rambam didn't say that either. So they say, most of the Achreinim assume the Rambam holds that there's neither an obligation in Atara nor Midrabbanan, nor is it even Chal. If you're Moshe Mechol Al HaKodesh, before Shabbos, after Shabbos, it's not even Chal. That's how most Achreinim hold this. The Chemin has a long Arichas on this. So he says, most Achreinim hold, according to the Rambam, there is no Tosefis. But in Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is lactosis, that there is Tosefis for Shabbos and for Yontov. So that's what the Vilna Gaon says, that this Machlekes HaRishonim, whether you say Al Nisim or you say Rosh Chodesh, you say Al Aviyah for Rosh Chodesh, that's only by Rosh Chodesh or Purim where there is no Tosefis. But on Shabbos and Yontov, where there's a concept of Masif Mechol Al HaKodesh, it's still Shabbos. After Shkia, after Tzeisek Chom, it's still Shabbos until you want to say Havdalah. So then for sure you should say Ritzeh. That's how the Vilna Gaon suggests Hasvar. But in the Rishonim, they don't say like that. They have the same Achloikas. Those Rishonim hold that you don't say Al Anisim, you don't say Yalav V'yava Yamatzoi Rosh Chodesh, say you don't say Ritzeh. If you're benching after Tzeisek Chom, after Shabbos, they hold you don't say Ritzeh. So more correct is to avoid the ganze Achloikas. I remember when I was.
Isn't there a meaning that when it comes after it's by the Shkia, after Shkia by Motzei Shabbos by Mincha, they eat an extra kazayis after that to include Yalav V'yava.
Meaning for Shkodesh on Sunday. Shkodesh on Sunday. Said the Mishnah Berurah has a whole machlokes. Does it make sense to say Ritzei and Yalav V'yava? They're two different days. Ritzei is because he ate on Shabbos. Yalav V'yava is Sunday, is it a tar to the Sasri? So the Mishnah Berurah holds it's a tar to the Sasri. You shouldn't say both. And the Minig in most places is not like the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah didn't care what the Minig is. The Aruch HaShulchan always follows the Minig. He writes what the Minig. The Aruch HaShulchan lived in Lithuania. So he always writes what the Litvish Minig was, and he always defends it, tries to defend it. Mishnah Berurah just ignores totally what the Minig was. There are a lot of things, that's what they write. There are a lot of things that Mishnah Berurah says they didn't even do that in Radin. Even in his yeshiva, they didn't follow like that. He just ignored. Those who wrote the Mishnah Berurah just totally ignored all the Minhagim. He just writes what he thinks should be the practice. When I was growing up, I don't remember for many, many years, I don't remember that the whole Tzibur would stand up when the Balkori would say the brachas before Mikra Megillah. The Mishnah says in the beginning of the third parak of Megillah, HaKoros HaMegillah Oymed V'Yoshev. You can, if you want to stand, you stand. If you want to sit, you can sit. The Rambam says, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam, that the Baal Koreh, if he's leinig b'tzibur, should stand b'mnei kovod ha-tzibur. But the tzibur can sit the whole Kriyas HaTorah. So I don't remember that we used to stand for the brachas. But now the minig became all over that the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Machzah Shekel, that even though you can sit for the Kriyas HaMegillah, we got to stand for the brachas, because Magen Avraham and Hilchas Tzitzis quotes from the Goyim that whenever you recite the Brichas HaMitzvah, you always have to stand. The proper Derech Eretz is you should stand whenever you say Brichas HaMitzvah. The Mishnah says aruma. The Mishnah says a woman can sit and be mafish chala and say the bracha. So how does she say the bracha in a sitting position? So the Pashtus says in Ishken Kasha, this is a minig that was introduced after the days of the Tanoim. The Goyim invented this minig to stand for all the Brichas HaMitzvah. But that's what the Magen Avraham faked Akasha. Who gave the Goyim the right to introduce a minig? It's against an often a Mishnah. Mishnah says, Isha Yashabis Vikotzel Chalos Aruma. She says the Brocha in a sitting position. So the Magen Avraham says, no, the minig HaGoyim is not in contradiction to the Mishnah, because just like Brichas HaNehenin, the Gemara says in Gittin that it's not healthy to eat or to drink while you're standing. In America, everybody does it. But the Gemara in Gittin, in Perek Mishachs, the beginning of Perek Mishachs, the Gemara has a lot of Inyanim Refuah. So the Gemara says that it's not healthy to eat or to drink while you're standing. Even the people who say Kiddush or Havdalah in a standing position, so says in Shulchan Aruch that you should sit when you're going to drink it. So because the proper practice is to sit when you're eating food, so the Magen Avraham says, Abichas HaNenen, you can recite in a sitting position. You don't have to stand up for Hamoitzi, out of Kavod HaBracha, Bar Pri HaDoma, I'm going to stand up and then I'm going to sit down and eat the potatoes. I'm going to eat it in a sitting position. So Abichas HaNenen, you can recite in a sitting position also. So the Magen Avraham claims that Hafrosh HaSchala is Nishke Mitzvah Bichlav. Hafrosh HaSchala, there's an Issa Tevel. If you're not Mafrish Chala, so you're over an Issa, you're eating Tevel. If you're Mafrish Chala, that's a Matir. That takes off the Yisr Tevel. So just like Birchas Hanenen is a matir, you're not allowed to eat without reciting, you're not allowed to eat without a brocha, But since the achila can be done by yeshiva, so the birchas hanenin can be done by yeshiva, so the Magen Avraham says the same is true regarding the bracha and afroshes chala. Afroshes chala is nishken mitzvah, and the bracha is nishken birchas hamitzvah. It's like a birchas hanenin because it's matah the achila.
What about
shchita? Shchita is a big shaila, also a shaila. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs lists off, when he lists off which are the 630 mitzvahs, the Rambam lists off the shecht of behemah. So the rivet is masik. What kind of a mitzvah is a lishchet? Is an ishke mitzvah? It's a matir. That's how the rivet says. So the Kesem Mishnah says, no, the Rambam said it and the Rambam meant it. Others say the Rambam never meant it. He didn't mean that it's a mitzvah to shecht. If a person wants to be a vegetarian, it says a mitzvah to shecht of behemah. Not interested in eating flesh. Shchita zamata. Probably the Rambam never meant it either. But Rabbi Yosef Karo in the Kesem Mishnah makes a holy shitosa. He says, no, the Rambam really meant when you're interested in eating, so it's a mitzvah to shecht. So we're all mevatel a mitzvah bizmanazah. I don't shecht. So one of the Gedolim in Europe sent a whole shtikel Torah to Rab Chaim Berlin, the son of the Netziv. Someone sent a whole shtikel Torah to Rab Chaim Berlin. When the shechet in Iowa, or wherever they shecht, when the shechet in Iowa shechts all the behemoths and all the birds, he has in mind that whoever is going to be the lucky winner, whoever's going to eat this piece of flesh, whoever's going to eat this chicken, I'm acting as a shliach on his behalf, and he should be yotzei the mitzvah with my shechita. So Rab Chaim Berlin makes fun of the whole thing. What are you talking about? What do you mean? How did he become your shliach? So he thinks that he doesn't agree with the Kesem Mishnah. He thinks that the Rambam never meant it either. It's an ishke mitzvah.
But that's so we
usually assume Pnei Yeshua says like that on the Mishnah Karas HaMegillah Imid V'Yoshev, when do you have to stand for a Birchas HaMitzvah? If the minig is, if you have to stand for the mitzvah, like we stand for Tkiyah Shofar, we stand for Sfira Sa'imah. So any mitzvah that you're makbet to stand for, so we treat the Birchas HaMitzvah as if it's part of the mitzvah, you stand for that too. But Leisha Basuke, the mitzvah itself, you mekayim b'yeshiva, so what's the shlecht if you say the bracha b'yeshiva? So then it should follow by Mikra Megillah also like that. Karas HaMegillah Imid V'yoshev. Everybody can sit by Mikra Megillah. So why do you have to stand for the bracha? So the Mishnah Brura quotes the Machzah Shekel, says like that. You got to stand, even though you can sit for the whole Mikra Megillah, but you got to stand for the bracha. And other Achrayim disagree. Like you say, the only time you have to stand for the bracha is if the bracha is said in connection with the mitzvah that you're supposed to stand on. But if you don't have to stand for the mitzvah, why should you have to stand for the bracha? So in recent years, the Mishnah Brura became so popular. So everybody in all the shuls, they started this minhag. Everybody has to stand up when a balkar is about to recite the Birchas HaMegillah. So the Mishnah Brura quoted like that from the Machzah Shekel. Why the tzibur stands up for the bracha? Mishnah Brura says you have to stand for bracha as Hashem Amvoyrach, because that's a dovish b'kedusha. The Magen Avraham quotes a Yerushalmi that you have to stand for dovish b'kedusha, and others. And then he quotes the Arizal and says there is no such Yerushalmi. We have the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says you have to stand for dovish b'kedusha. So the Mishnah Berurah holds that the Baruchu that you say when you get an Aliyah, Baruchu is Hashem and Baruch, that's a Dovish Bigdusha. So Dovish Bigdusha requires Amida. Rav Soloveitchik used to think not so. He thought that even though we follow that Yerushalmi, that you need Amida for Dovish Bigdusha, but the Mishnah says in Megillah that Kriyas HaTorah is always a Dovish Bigdusha. That's why you need a Minyan, because Kriyas HaTorah is a Dovish Bigdusha. So how come you don't have to stand for Kriyas HaTorah? We assume that standing for Kriyas HaTorah is only Amidas Chasidus from the Maharam Rutenberg. Mikra Adin, you're allowed to sit. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Teretz is, there's a pasuk that says that Kriyashma, B'shach B'chav Kumecha, I said, B'lech Tuchav Aderach. So the Mishnah says, B'lech Tuchav Aderach. Mishnah in Brachas has a machleg is B'sham and B'sil. So B'sham say, B'erev Kol Adam Yata B'yikra. When you dav Meirev and you recite Kriyashma, you have to be in a reclining position, because B'shach B'cha, U'baboyker Kol Adam Yamad V'yikra. U'bikumecha, you have to recite Kriyashma in a standing position. And we don't paskin like the Beis Shammai. And the Gemara says you're not allowed to be machmah like the Beis Shammai. Rabbi Tarfon was machmah like the Beis Shammai. and he was almost killed by the listim, and then the Tanaim told him, Kadai ha'isa be'achmecha, Kadai ha'isa be'atzmecha, lochu be'chayecha. You deserve the death penalty for being machmer like the Beis Shammai. Why did he deserve death penalty for machmer like Beis Shammai? The Gemara says in the end of Brachas, another machloikis in Mishame Bisilah. If you want to be machmer like Beis Shammai, that's a beautiful thing. So Rav Soloveitchik said, no, because over here it's keneged adin. The Beis Hillel learned out from the Pasuk, Belech dechavadera kaladim kari kedarka. The Aloha requires dafke. Kriyashma should be recited in a relaxed position. You shouldn't go out of your way to show any special covet for the Kriyashma. The Taz and Simon Ches and Hilchas Tzitzis quotes from the Medrash that when a Melech Basav Adam sends a letter to the community and he wants everyone to listen to the reading of the letter, so they require everyone has to stand up out of Kavan HaMelech. And the Rabbanu Shalom is an easygoing fellow. Everybody, he wants everybody to recite Kriyat Shema every day. Come as you are. We don't require you should have Atifa. That's how the Medrash says. You don't require you should put the Talos over here. You don't require Atifa. For Kriyat Shema, you don't require Amida. You don't require Yeshiva. Whatever. Kol Adam Kari Kedarka. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. Maybe that's the Teretz on Teretz Kash. Teretz says, what's the Aver to me Machma like Beis Shammai? In the end of Brachas, the Gemara says there were two Talmidim. One was Machma like Beis Shammai. And he found an Arniki Shalzav. He found a wallet full of money. He was rewarded for being Machma like Beis Shammai. What's so terrible over here for Abtarfin is Machma like Beis Shammai? So the answer is not, because Basil hold it's Keneged Adin. You're not allowed to show special Derech Eretz for Kriya Shema. That's Rav Soloveitchik's family minig was, that he used to have Atifa. He would wear the talus over his head when he said Shmona Esrei, and when the Chazan repeated the Chazoros HaShatz, he said that based on the Pasuk Tilim, Tfila Leoni Kiyatov, Pashup Shat Kiyatov, he bends over, he bellows over in pain about his Tzoris, about his Agmas Nefesh. And an additional level of interpretation is that he does Atifa, he covers over his head with extra special malbushim when he damish manes. And then the achreidim say you need atifa when you participate in a davish bigdusha, when you answer baruch, when you answer, you say kaddish, you answer kaddish, you need atifa for that also. So Rav Soloveitchik used to have, when the chazan said kaddish before baruch, and then he says baruch, that's a davish bigdusha. And then, till you get to the Shmanesu, so his minig used to be, he would take off the talus from his head. Why? To demonstrate, like the Medrash says, Kol Adam Kari Kedarka. We normally don't have Atifa on the talus. We only do Atifa on special parts of the davening. Shmanesu, we do Atifa. Dvarim Shebikdusha. So you're going to do Atifa for Kriyashma. That'll be a violation of Kol Adam Kari Kedarka. You're not supposed to be Machmar like Beis Shammai to show that you're going to recite Kriyashma in a special position. So Rav Soloveitchik said, the Yoilam Kriyashma should be, Kriyas HaTorah should really be a Dovish Bigdusha. The Mishnah says it is a Dovish Bigdusha, that's why you need a minion. So he said, but why don't you have to stand for Kriyas HaTorah? So he said, because we have a Pasuk, Belech Tucho Baderech, B'shoch B'chov Kamechos, and the Mishnah says, Beis Hillel's understanding of the Pasuk is, Kol Adam Kari Kedarka. So even though Kriyashma should have also been a Dovish Bigdusha, you're saying about Yichud Hashem, Kabbalah Salmach HaShamayim. So you really should have required that you need a minion to recite Kriya Shema, you should recite it Bamida. So the Pasuk says, no, Kol Adam Kari Kedarka, you don't need a minion. And even though it is a Dovish Bigdusha, Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim, you don't need Amida, you don't need Atifa, you don't need a minion, and so on. So he thought that Gzeres HaKasuv, or Belech Dechavadarach Kol Adam Kari Kedarka, carries over to all Kriya Satorah. So he said, despite the fact that Kriya Satorah is a Dovish Bigdusha, you need a minion, but you don't need Amida, just like you don't need Amida by Kriya Shema. So Kriya Satar is also Kriya Psukim. You don't treat Kriya Psukim like a Dovish Bigdush, even though it should have been. That's what he thought. That's what he thought. That's the meaning that everyone sits by Kriya Satar. He said it's covered with the Pasuk of Kol Adam Kari Kedarka.
So by the people who stand by Kriya Satar, for them...
No, he always used to stand. He also always used to stand by Kriya Satar, but that was a Chumrah.
You're allowed to.
You're allowed to stand.
Right?
Yeah, the Maram Rutenberg wanted to show Kavod HaTorah. Maram Rutenberg didn't ask the Balabatim to stand. That's Beferish in the Tshuva. Just he personally stood. He wanted to show Kavod HaTorah.
So can you go now back, and if you refer that to other tefillahs to show Kavod HaTorah, that you're not allowed to now?
No, by Kriya Shema we say Kriya Shema has to be Kol Adam Kari Kedarka. You should be dafke, not go out of your way.
But if you stand for davening,
stand for the whole davening. Gzuntahei. Gzuntahei, yeah. Some Achranim say you should stand for the whole Pesuk of the Zimra based on Kabbalah. We stand just for Baruch Shama and Yishtabach, and we sit in the middle. And others say, no, really, our Pekabbalah should stand for the whole Pesuk of the Zimra. They give an explanation why Badavka that should be Bamida, and why the Bichas Kriyashma should be Yeshiva. Something above my head, something in Kabbalah. Yeah.
Wasn't Rabbi Tarfon from the Beis Shammai? Yeah. So in that case, he should have followed like Beis Shammai. So what was the...
I don't know. The Gemara proves in the end of the first parak in Yevamos that Rabbi Tarfon was from the Beis Shammai. That's why Korah Vehita. So why did they say, Kadahir Yisra Lachu Biatzmecha? I mean, the Beis Hillel were disagreeing with him. Beis Hillel said, you should have followed our Shita because we're right. You shouldn't follow. Huh? Yeah, but we always say the Talmidim of Beis Shammai should follow Beis Shammai Shita. Even after the Baskol, they're supposed to follow their Rebbe's tradition. Each one, those who are neither Talmidim of Beis Shammai nor Talmidim of Beis Hillel, so then you follow the Roif. So everyone should follow Beis Hillel. But those who are Talmidim of Beis Shammai should follow Beis Shammai. So what do they say? Kedai Yisra Lochu Biatzmecha? Means you should really join Beis Hillel. That's what they meant. They didn't say that you did in Aver Lishvishi Tosei. The Gemara says he was a Talmud of Beis Shammai, so he's supposed to follow Beis Shammai Shit. They just said he shouldn't be a Talmud of Beis Shammai. Yeah. I remember many years ago, I was looking in the Oz Haruah on Hilchas Purim. So he writes that there's a suffix what the correct spelling of the word is in the Megillah. Vayishaneha v'esnariseha l'tov beis hanoshim. Vayishaneha esnariseha with avov or without avov. He doesn't have the other sfeikas that are printed in all the Humashim today, Ishna Lamad Bifnehem, Lifnehem, or the other Pasik, Lahashbin, Laharaguliyav, Lahashbin, Vilaharaguliyav, with Avav, without Avav. Those, many say that those sfeikas were just invented 100 years ago. That in all the old Tanakhs, there never was a suffix on that. But here there is a raw quote from the Tkuvas Arishanim. He says there's a question what the correct reading should be. Vayishaneha esnariseha v'esnariseha. So yes, Rav Soloveitchik, maybe we should learn it twice. Maybe we should learn by Yishanel, it's not Rishan. So he says, yeah, the din of Shulchan Aruch is a Talmud Yerushalmi, that if you make a mistake, a twice that's not Mishanah so Inyan, the Gemara, the Yerushalmi says, the Mechaba quotes, that there were two Talmidim, and they were both reading the Megillah, so one read Hayuhudim, and one said Hayuhudiyim. Because in the Megillah it's written with two Yuds, but we learn it Hayuhudim, we don't learn Hayuhudiyim. So Yehudim is incorrect, but it's not Mishanah Sa'inyan. It means the same thing. We know what it means. So the Shulchan Aruch says that if you make a toys that's not Mishanah Sa'inyan, you don't have to lay over. So he said, Esnar Sebi means the same thing. So I said, so why do we read over Bifneim, Lifneim? So I said, Mikra Din, you don't have to. You Yoytze, even if it's wrong, you Yoytze. The Chatrila, we try to read everything correctly without any mistakes. So that's why they started this new minig that that you read over these two psukim, lifnei and bifnei, but he says, mikra din, you don't have to. Once you already read the pasuk with the mistakes, so it's good the way it is. So he said, he didn't think that we're mukhiv to be choshish for this anocha sofek, about the vav, yishaneho esna reseho. In Shulchan Aruch, they have a lot to say about the women on Purim. So the way they present it is that they quote the Taisu Shita, that really, mikra megillah should really be considered a mitzvah sasei, Shahazman Groma, and the Noshim should really be potter from Mikra Megillah. Even though Mikra Megillah is not Minatoirah, that's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos in Brachas Daf Chof, whether the Klal Mitzvah says Shahazman Groma, women are potter, does it only apply to Mitzvahs Deraisa, or even to Mitzvahs Derabbanan? So Rashi says the Klal doesn't apply to Mitzvahs Derabbanan. And Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos says this is the Pshat in all the Gemaras. The Gemara says women are mechuyev to drink Arba Kosos. And women are mechuyev in Haseba, women are mechuyev in Mikra Megillah, women are mechuyev in Hadlakas Neres Chanukah, all four for the same reason, because Afin Hoy B'Yosanes. What do you need a special reason? So Tosfos says, because the Ikaret then should have been that the women are Pater, because it's really a mitzvah Saseh Shazman Groma. So we're giving a reason in the Gemara why we made an exception to the rule. Despite the fact that it's a Zman Groma, we say the women are mechuyev. So that's what in the Shiurim of Rav Elbel Soloveitchik in the beginning of Maseches Erechin, the Gemara quotes this: Hakol Chiyovim in Mikra Megillah, Echad Anoshim, Echad Anoshim, Afin Hoy B'Yosanes. So Rav Elbel is quoted there as having raised the suffix. What does it mean, Afin Hoy B'Yosanes? Is it a special reason why they made a takana that, despite the fact that it's a Zman Groma, women are mechuyev for a special reason? Or should I say no? The whole idea of Mikra Megillah is to give a Shevach Takodesh Baruch Hu, to thank the Rabbanu Shalom, like to make a Kiddush Hashem, to praise the Rabbanu Shalom for the Yeshuas that he gave us. So the mitzvah of making a Kiddush Hashem, that's a mitzvah Saseh Shalai Azman Groma. That's a mitzvah Min HaTorah. V'nigdash Tebesach Bnei Yisrael, that's a mitzvah Min HaTorah, to be Meshabech HaKodesh Baruch Hu. This particular form of fulfilling the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, this happens to be Azman Groma. We read the Megillah, Leil Purim, we read the Megillah B'Yom HaPurim, but basically this is really a fulfillment, it's a kiyum of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem, in principle, is a mitzvah seseh sholei azman groma. So Rav Velvel raised the possibility, maybe when the Gemara says, Zafin HaBiyas HaNes, it doesn't mean we made an exception to the rule, despite the fact that it's azman groma women amchim. Maybe what it means is, it's not azman groma, because basically it's this mitzvah, Mikra Megillah, falls under the heading of Kiddush Hashem, and that mitzvah, the basic mitzvah Kiddush Hashem, is not as mangrama. What's the difference to midreita hin to midreita her? So he says, no, the Shulchan Aruch has a machlokes whether avodim she'enem mishuchrarim achay b'mikra megillah. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam, avodim mishuchrarim achay b'mikra megillah. Why avodim mishuchrarim? Because an eved mishuchrar is a ger. He's a Yisrael gomer, he's a regular Jew. An Eved Bilti Meshuchar, an Eved Kanayin who is not freed, is Dina Keisha, he's not Chai V'mitzvah Seseh Shazman Grama. So for the simple reason, the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, it seems pretty clear that Avodim are not Chai V'mikra Megillah, only Avodim Meshuchararim, because they're Chai V'all the mitzvahs, but an Eved Shein Meshuchar is Potter from Zman Grama, and the reason Rafa Bi'os HaNes only applies to women, doesn't apply to Avodim. That's Rav Velvel, and then other Acharonim disagree. Magen Avraham quotes the whole machlokes. Other Acharonim disagree. So if the Hezbon, the Gemara would be Afin Haybi Osanes, that because Mikra Megillah falls under the category of the basic mitzvah deraisa of Kiddush Hashem, and Kiddush Hashem is not as Zman Groma, so that's why I treat it like a non Zman Groma. So Avodim should also be Mechuyev. Not only Noshim, Avodim should also be Mechuyev. So he thought that maybe this is the machlokes harishonim, the machlokes achronim that the Magen Avraham has, whether avodim sheinim mishachrorim are mechuyev and mikra megillah or not. That's the big machlokes the rishonim have. The Gemara says that hakol chayavim and mikra megillah echad anoshim ve'echad noshim. So the simple pshat in the Gemara is that the women are mechuyev on the same level as the men. So if the women are mechuyev on the same level, so you should allow a woman to be the balkari for a man. A man can learn for a woman can learn for a man, whoever, let's say Kiddush. If a man doesn't know how to say Kiddush, so his wife can say Kiddush for him. It's a Rachmanis that he doesn't know how to say Kiddush. Normally, a European woman would never want to say Kiddush on her own. He's an Almana. Who says Kiddush? Which Jewish woman says Kiddush on her own? She doesn't want to be an Almana. She doesn't want to be a Grusha. She wants her husband to say Kiddush for her. But strictly speaking, the women are just as mechuyev as the men in reciting Kiddush, so a woman can recite Kiddush to be moitzeh the men. It says in Shulchan Aruch that it's not proper. More correct is the husband should say Kiddush to be moitzeh the wife. So the Shaila is here, when it says, HaKol Chayavim Mikra Megillah, Echad Anoshim, Echad Anoshim, are the women mechuyev on the same madrege as the men, or is it somehow the lower madrege? So Tosfos quotes the Halachas Gedolos, that the mechuyev of the women is a lower level than the mechuyev of the men, and a woman cannot read the Megillah to be moitzi the man. So Tosfos says it's a pella. The Pashup Pshat in Gemara is not so, but we show respect for the opinions that we don't follow. So we have to show respect for the halachas gedolos, even though we don't understand it, even though we don't think that it's correct. And let's say you would get stuck. Let's say the husband doesn't feel well, and he can't wake up in time to go to shul to hear the Megillah. And you just can't get someone to read the Megillah in his home. Can the wife read the Megillah? Bottom line, can the wife read the Megillah to be mitzvah the husband? So Mikra Adin, we pass on like this, says the wife can read the Megillah to be mitzvah the husband. But Lechatchila, we avoid it out of respect for the sheet of the Halachas Gedolos. Tosfos quotes every so often a sheet from the Halachas Gedolos, and they say it's a Pella, but we show respect for the Halachas Gedolos, so we don't violate his opinion, like by Sfira Saimer. The Halachas Gedolos came up with this chiddush that if you missed one day in Sfiras Haomer, so you don't continue to count. So we don't paskin like that. We paskin you do have to continue to count, but out of respect for the Halachas Gedolos, so we don't say a bracha, because he says once you missed one day, so it's a lack of tmimah. So Tosfos says, where did he get it from? There is no such mocker in the Gemara. It doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara. The Gemara says tmimah means something else. So that's out of respect for the halachas gedolos, we don't violate his opinion. That's in recent years, some young people decided, we're going to throw out the halachas gedolos, we're going to have women read the Megillah for the men. Why do they all of a sudden, they don't want to show respect for the halachas gedolos? We always show respect for the opinion even that we don't accept. The Gemara has in the beginning of Megillah, and of Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara has a machlokes Rav and Rav Asi. When you lay the Megillah on Purim, do you require a minyan or not? So Rav says, what do you need a minyan? You can lay the Megillah b'yachid also. And Rav Asi was a Talmud of Rav, he disagrees with his Rebbe, he holds Mikra Megillah, even Bizmano, you need a minyan. So the Gemara says, Rav was respectful of his Talmud's opinion. Rav showed respect for his Talmud's opinion, so he was always medakdek to read the Megillah on Purim with a minyan, even though he held that it's not necessary. He showed respect. Yeah, Mishnah is like that. It constitutes a midas chasidus to satisfy a shita sayochid, even though we don't paskin like that. Still, it's a midas chasidus. Here also. So that's what Taisa says. We are machmel chatchila to follow the opinion of the Bahag. The Bahag holds that the chiv of the women to read the Megillah is not on the same level as the chiv of the men. But at least the Gemara said before, the women are mechuyev in Mikra Megillah. Women are mechuyev in Mikra Megillah. What about our women mechuyev in Shalachmanis and Matonis Levyoinim? So the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch that just like the women are mechuyev in Mikra Megillah, so too the women are mechuyev in Matonis Levyoinim. So Rabbi Kiveger on the bottom of the page in the Shulchan Aruch tells you to look in the Pichodosh. Pichodosh is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. So he disagrees. He says no. He says that it says Mishlachmanis Ish L'Reyehu. Ish has the connotation Ish V'lo Ishu. That women are not mechuyev in shalachmanis matanis lavyanim. Not the way the Ramos says. The Ramos says that the women are mechuyev. And in the yeshivas, they explain why should it be so. So they say they don't even see why the prichodesh needed akzeris akasev ish l'reya ish v'lo kot ish v'lo isha. You can say simply, basically, all of the mitzvahs are from shalachmanis matanis lavyanim with the mikra megillah. Everything is as magrama. The exception to the rule that we are mechayiv the women, despite the fact that it's a mitzvah says shazman groma, is a mikra megillah because afin hay biyosanes. So what does that mean? So the Chasam Sofer has a tshuva. He says all those four cases by haseba, arba kaisis, ner chanukah, mikra megillah, all four, the nature of the mitzvah is to persumi nisa. And the similar dava to know that the nature of the mitzvah is persumi nisa because we add a bracha shas nisim lavaseinu. On Chanukah we say Shos HaNisim, on Purim we say, and on Pesach night, even though we don't say the bracha Shos HaNisim, but the Rishonim say, we say the bracha, Asher Geolonu V'Golas HaVaseinim Mitzrayim, Higyonu HaLaila Hazeh, that's the equivalent, Asher Geolonu, that's the equivalent of Shos HaNisim. So the only time we say that the women are mechuyev in the mitzvah says Shas Ban Grama is when the nature of the mitzvah is Pesumi Nisa. So on Hadlokas, Neres Chanukah, you light the candle, then you say, Haneres HaLon Olam Adlikim, you say what it's all about. On Pesach night, you say Agansa Hagodah. So you explain, you do Haseba Arba Kaisis, and you tell the whole story. So there's Mamish Pesumi Nisa. And Purim, you read the whole Megillah. So the Megillah is Pesumi Nisa. Giving Shalach Manas Matanas Lev Yainim, that's not Pesumi Nisa. That's not Pesumi Nisa. They instituted it, maybe you can call it Zechelanes. So the Chasam Sofer says, Zechelanes, you're not Mechaiv women because Afen Haibi Asanes. You're only Mechaiv the women where the essence of the mitzvah is Pesumi Nisa. So that's why one can argue the point and say that women are not mechuyev. The Ramah says women are mechuyev in Shalachmanis Matanis Levyanim.
Why isn't a patient woman not
mechuyev in a seba if you say Aisha Moshe in this, but according to those who call,
she wasn't a
benesh,
she
didn't mechuyev
in a
seba,
yet we don't have
it.
Women are not
mechuyev.
You
could
follow through with a
seba. The Gemara says the women are mechuyev in a seba. Women are mechuyev. But in Shulchan Aruch, it says if the women are liberated, if the nature of the community, the society is such that the women sit with such derech eretz in the presence of their husbands, so they're not allowed to do haseba. But the Ramah says our wives are all liberated. The Ramah quotes when they're shining by the Ashkenazim, the wives are all liberated. So mikra din, they all need haseba. But the women follow the Rav Yoh. The Rav Yoh's opinion is that bizman hazeh nobody needs any haseba because it's so uncomfortable. We don't need the haseba. It's a nuisance. So the minig is that the women follow the Rav Yoh. So that's a puzzle. Why only the women follow the Rav Yoh? Manam shach. Why shouldn't the men also follow the Rav Yoh? You should say it doesn't make sense that anybody should do any hesbah. So that's a whole hesbah. That bezman hazeh, we really hold like the Rav Yod, that it does make any sense. So the whole hesbah that we do today is only zechel anes. It's not no longer pisumin nisim. When we lean on the side to eat, it's so uncomfortable, that's not mefarsim in the net. You have to eat over again, right? So we say that that's zechel anes, because the Medrash says, Vayasev elokim asom, der hamid vayamsev, Vayasev is meloshen haseba, that the Rabban Shalom freed the Mnei Yisrael, so the Yeper haseba. So we have haseba today, zecha to the haseba that they had. So whenever it's zecha l'nes, only the men are mechuyev. Years ago, that haseba was the normal way that wealthy people would eat, and a very big kovdik way by haseba. So the women were also mechuyev in haseba, because it would be presuming nisa. But bizman hazeh, we all follow this Rav Yo a little bit. The Rav Yo holds that no one needs any haseba, so that we don't hold from. We hold you need haseba, zecha l'nes. So zecha l'nes, the women are not mechuyev. Only presuming nisa, the women are mechuyev.
Well, the shefer, the seva for nashim is kind of like, no, it's not.
So steak nish in the Gemara. Steak nish in Shulchan Aruch.
It's Talmud Allah. Because
the Zeher, that way it's just like the Kosis. No. The women are Mechuyiv in Matzah. The women are Mechuyiv in Morah, in Korban Pesach. So they're Mechuyiv in Kairach. No. If you have a mitzvah seser shazman grama that women should be potter from, so whenever it's zechel and nes, they're still potter. Whenever it's bisumi nisa l'chaim, but matzah mar they're amachuyev in. The psukim say matzah mar the women amachuyev in. So maybe the mechuyev to have the kairach also. In Shulchan Aruch they have a discussion about women writing a megillah seser. The Gemara has a pasuk in Maseches Gitnan daf memheim beis. The Gemara. There's a machlokes hatanoim. There's a din of hekish. If you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, we assume that there's a connection between the two. Then there's a din of smuchim. If you have two dinim written in two psukim, one next to the other, that's a big machlokes hatanoim. Do you darshan smuchim? Do you not darshan smuchim? So the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Tilim. Smuchim laad loyolam asuyim v'yemes v'yoshar. That's the mocha that you darshan smuchim. If you have two dinim written in two psukim, one next to the other. So we paskin, the Gemara in Yevamis in the beginning, we paskin, you only darshan smuchim in Chumash Devarim. Beresh is through about mid, but you don't darshan smuchim. And Chumash Devarim is Mishnah Torah, everything is different. Whatever the Hesper is, that's what it says in Gemara. We treat Chumash Devarim as if it's all Torah Shabbat Peh, and you darshan smuchim over there. So there are many, many famous drushes that are based on smuchim in Chumash Devarim. So one of the many famous drushes is, in Kriya Shema, we have two psukim, one next to the other. V'kshart melos al yadecha, v'chsaftam al mezuzas beisecha b'sherecha. So the Gemara says, the person who's mechuyev to put on tefillin is kosher to write a mezuzah. A woman who's not mechuyev to put on tefillin is not kosher to write a mezuzah. Even though the women are mechuyev in the mitzvah mezuzah, mezuzah is a mitzvah sesei, sh'olay hazman groma, they're mechuyev to have a mezuzah, but they're not kosher to write their own mezuzah. They have to get a man to write the mezuzah. So we assume that this din doesn't only apply to mezuzah, it applies to Sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzah, and applies to all of Tanakh. A woman is psula for ksivas ha-Tanakh. So here by Megillas Esther is a machlokes in Achrayim. Some of the Shari Tshuva quotes it. Some Achrayim came up with an einfall that since it says in the pasuk, v'tichtev Esther ha-Malka, you see that a woman is kosher for writing. V'tichtev Esther ha-Malka is not talking about writing the Megillah. She sent out letters to everybody, they should observe Purim. So, in L'chor, what they're driving at is, the Gemara has that Megillah Esther is part of the Tanakh, but it's not 100% part of the Tanakh. The Gemara says, on the one hand, Nikris Sefer, on the other hand, Nikris Igeris. It's not 100% like all the other. There are 24 Svarim in the Tanakh, so 23 Svarim are full Torah Shebichzav, and the Megillah Esther is a little bit, one leg in the Torah, in the Tanakh, and one leg out. So that's what the Gemara says, you have certain coolers by Megillah Esther. So that's what these Achrayim thought, that din, that an Isha's Psula for Ksivas Tanakh, only goes on the other 23 Svar. Over here, Megillah Esther is not 100% same as the other Sifriyat Tanakh, so maybe we should permit women to write the Megillah Esther. It's some Chudish Dikashita. The Pashtus is that it's the same as all the rest of the Tanakh. We have a minig that there are four psukim shel geula in the Megillah. So the minig is that the tzibur says them along with the Balkari before the Balkari reads the pasuk. Ish Yudi Hay Bishushan Abira, and so on, like Hudma Sari Vasimcha Vasasan Ikar, and the Pasik at the end, Matchai Ayuri. Yeah, the two psukim about Mordechai, the last pasuk and the other one, Lush Tchelus V'chur Baterazov, and so on. So the minig is that we recite these along with the Balkari. The Goyim write in the Chuvas Agadim. This is part of a big minig. The last pasuk in Eicha we say Hashemein Hashem Elochem and Hashuvah Chadei Shemeinu Kikedem, and then the last pasuk in. The last pasuk again, Koheles, no? We also say with the Chazan. Then on a tiny Sibur, we say along Hashem Hashem Kerach Mecha, Yav Hashem Panivik, Hashem Hashem Kerach Mecha, Salach Talam Nein Lachat Seinu Unachal Tonu. We say Psukim along, Psukim of Kapara, Slicha, Mechila, Simcha, Mechila Savoy, there's these kind of things. So the Goyim say it's one big minig that spreads out from all year long. They collect all of the time. They have more than we have. The Goyim list off more Haftoris. They used to say along with the Balkoirei, more psukim than we say, but this is shouldn't be taken out of context. The Goyim say this minig is part of a all year long minig to recite certain psukim along with the Balkari. So then the Ramah says, but it's not really right. We're going to say the pasuk. We don't have a kosher klaf. I'm looking in the Megillah and a printed chumash. So the din b'diavad is if you had 51% of the Megillah was read from a kosher or Megillah, and 49% less than Roy was read Balpeh, so b'diavad yoytzeh. But why should you rely b'diavad? Why shouldn't you have l'chatchila? So the Ramah says that's why the Balkari should lean over the pasuk, even after everybody says lahum hasarav simchas mikar. The Balkari shouldn't say with us. He should wait till after the whole tzibur says. Then the Balkari says it mitoch haksav, so we yoytzeh the l'chatchila. That's Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is quoted as having said, what about the very last pasuk in the Megillah? The very last pasuk in the Megillah, Ratzah the Rebbech Avdav Shalom Avdav Tov L'chol Zaro, the last pasuk, if we're going to say it before the Balkoirei, then we're Yotzei ready, finish the whole Mikra Megillah. The pasuk, Matchayatzim Lefnei HaMelech, or the pasuk, Ishi Yohari B'shushan Abira, so we didn't finish the Megillah yet. So we said a pasuk, we're not Yotze yet. We have so many more psukim to go. So the Balkari says it over mitoch haksav. So we Yotze lachatchila. We had the whole Megillah mitoch haksav. Once you get to the last pasuk, the Balkari read everything mitoch haksav. Then once we say the last pasuk balpeh, so finish it. Yotze already b'diyevet. So after you were ready, Yotze b'diyevet, can you repeat the mitzvah and do it now to make it into lachatchila? Let's say a person had an ugly looking esrig. A gebenched esrig is yotze. Then he gets a beautiful esrig. Will he accomplish anything if he picks up the beautiful esrig? And shen yotze given the mitzvah. The hida mitzvah is to do the mitzvah behidura. If he was yotze the mitzvah b'diyeved, you can't be. That's a shaila. Can you do something later that'll make an into l'chatchila? So they quote b'shem Rab Chaim that you can't. The big machlok is Rab Chaim held that you can't. So that's where Rab Shlomo Zalman had the practice. That the last pasuk he didn't say before the Balkari. He let the Balkari say the last pasuk first. And then as the Balkari is rolling up the Megillah, then he said it afterwards. Because if Will Chapois will say the last pasuk before the Balkari, then they'll come out that we Yotze B'diyevet already. So why should we want to be Yotze B'diyevet if he can be Yotze L'chatchila? But the Aseres B'nei Haman, the Gemara says it has to be written like a Shira. But a normal Shira, Oz Yashir is written, Ariach HaGabi Leveno. You have empty spaces in Ksav. So you don't have Ksav atop of Ksav atop of Ksav. You have Ksav, empty space, and you have Ksav in the middle. They keep on alternating. Cholok HaGabi Ksav, and Ksav HaGabi Cholok. And now, Seres Ben Haman, you have Eis Parshandas, Eis Dalf, Eis Haspas. You have two columns, and you have a space in between. So you have to have cholok in between. That's how the Gemara says. So the Mishnah Brura quotes Rashi on the Gemara, how much does the empty space, how wide does the empty space have to be? So he says, kiflayim kehaksav, should be twice as wide as the ksav. A lot of the Megillahs don't have that. You look in a Megillah. A lot of Megillahs do not have such a big cholok, empty space. A lot of them do, but I think half of them don't have a wide enough space. Supposed to be twice the empty space in the middle. Supposed to be twice as wide as the ksav on either side. So really, l'chatchila, one should check the Megillah that you got to be yotzei from. check to make sure that it has the Aseres Bnei Haman written properly. The Mishnah says in Megillah that if the Megillah, you have to lay the Megillah mitoch haksav. So if the Megillah is written, all of our Megillahs are written in Tanakh, Loshen, and Loshen HaKodesh. So the Mishnah says even the people who don't understand Loshen HaKodesh are also Yotz. What if you have a Megillah that's written in English? So whoever understands English can be Yotz. After the Rishonim say, Haloyes Shoshama Balaz is Yotz only if he doesn't understand Hebrew. If he understands Hebrew and English, then a lot of Rishonim say that you can't be Yotze. Even if the Megillah is written in English, you can't be Yotze. But let's say there are people who do not understand Hebrew, and they do understand English, and the Megillah is written in English. So then you can be Yotze. So the Gemara says, but if you hear the Megillah written Bashuris, then you're Yotze even though you don't understand. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Rivosh, they don't quote the whole story from the Rivosh, they quote just the Psak. They don't quote the reason why. So the Rivosh says, why shouldn't we have the Megillah written in whatever Spanish, whatever language was the Sfas HaMedina? Why don't we have the Megillah written in English so the more people will understand? You read the Megillah, the Loshen HaKodesh, half the people in the shul do not understand. Wouldn't we accomplish a greater Pesumi Nisa if we would read the Megillah, if the Megillah would be written Belaz when we read it? So they, in Shulchan Aruch they give, the Rivosh has two reasons. One reason is, there's a machloikas, the Rambam and the Ravid in Hilchas Gittin. The Rambam has a Tosefta, which the Ravid says is a Torah Sefer. The Rambam has a Tosefta in Hilchas Gittin. A get can be written in Hebrew, in English, in Spanish, in French, but you can't write b'shtei l'shoines. There's no hemshech from one language to the other. Either the whole thing is written in Hebrew, the whole thing is written in Aramaic, or the whole thing is written in English. But if you write a get, half in one language, half in another language, no good. That's what the Rambam says in Hilchas Gerishin, and he's quoting a Tosefta. And the Ravid says that Tosefta is Meshubeshes, it's not correct. The din is that even if the get is written Meshtel Shoinus, there is a Hemshech, and it is good. So by a get, we're Machmer for that. By davening, we're not Machmer. Let's say a lot of people daven, so we all daven in Loshen HaKodesh. Then if a person wants to add on a Trina, so you add on in English, or you add on in Yiddish, whatever language. Many people don't speak Hebrew so well, so they don't add on a personal trina in Hebrew. So how can you, according to the Rambam, you can't blend together two different languages? The davening is in Hebrew, and then you add on in Yiddish, or you add on in English. So the answer is, davening is only with the Rabbanan, and so a maker like the Ravid, that there is a hemshech between one language and the other. Get is a din derais. Here, by Mikra Megillah, so since Mikra Megillah, some hold as Divrei Kabbalah, Divrei Kabbalah k'divrei Torah Dami is not a lower level the Rabbanon. It's a real chamadika din the Rabbanon. So we're machmer to satisfy the Rambam's opinion. So there are certain words in the Megillah that we don't know how to translate. The Gemara says, Ho'achash Teron and B'nei HaRamachim. The Gemara says, we don't know what that is. So if you've got to translate the whole Megillah, you have to translate everything into English and leave that
in their language.
Whatever language that is, Persian. So das Teignish. Then you have a Megillah written in two languages, Asvara, according to the Rambam, that you're not Yotze. You can't blend together two different languages. So that's one reason that they give. Then the Rivosh gives another reason, and he says, look, we've been doing it like this for 2,000 years. He says, and even though it's hard to understand, if that's the meaning, we should leave it like that. If we've been pulling through for the last 2,000 years by reading the Megillah and Loshen HaKodesh, I'll leave it like it works. So don't chep it. Leave it the way it is.
In the Russian Kodesh, you can't translate in English. It loses the meaning.
That's also true. It's hard to translate.
Even the sound is different.
That's true. Strictly speaking, you can be Yotze Kriya Shema translation also, but it's very difficult to have an accurate translation of Kriya Shema. If you're Yotze Shema Nesrin translation, very difficult to have an accurate translation of the Shemoneh Esrei. When the Reform movement first began, so that was one of the first things that they did. They translated the davening into German, and they said, "Azoy shteitn shulchan aruch," that when you daven b'tzibur, "Henkel kabir lo yemas," and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is b'tfilas harabim. So since you're davening in shul, so you can even daven in the vernacular. The Gemara says that when you daven biyachid, so you need the malachim to present your tefillahs to the Rabbanu Shalom. And the malachim are not makirim b'loshan aramis. What do you mean b'loshan aramis? What do you mean not makirim? They says if they understand all the other 69 languages, how come they can't understand loshan aramis? So the Ravid writes in the Tmim Deim, it doesn't mean they don't understand Aramis. They think that it's not proper. Aramis means the vernacular, lav davka Aramis. He said the Malachim feel that it's improper. He's davening the way you talk on the street, in the vernacular, so they feel it's not proper to present these tefillahs to the Rabbanu Shalom. But if it's tefillahs Arabim, then the Gemara says the tefillahs go directly to the Rabbanu Shalom, you don't need the Malachim to present them. So that's what they said in the beginning of the Reform Movement. They said, we're davening in Shul, tefillah b'tzibur, so you can daven in German. So they didn't ask a shayla, Rabbi Kivagan, Chassam Sofer, Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Lagos, they didn't ask any shaylas. They said, send Shulchan Aruch, we don't have to ask any shaylas. So the Rabbanim were very upset. Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Lagos wrote, he looked at the German translation, he says there are inaccuracies. They translated the words of the davening incorrectly. So he points out a few mistakes that they have in the German translation of the davening. So that's always a problem. If you're going to have a translation of the Kriya Shema, translation of the davening, translation of Megillas Esther, you have to have an accurate translation. Something is always lost in translation also. But this is the famous Rivosh, the Chuvus Rivosh that the Shulchan Aruch quotes. That the minhag has been for so many years already that we read the Megillah in the original text, even though the people don't understand. So we shouldn't chap it, we should leave it like that. If it's been working for so many years, so we shouldn't change it. The Mishnah has a fascinating machlekes of Yudin HaChachamim. Would we permit a katan before bar mitzvah to read the Megillah or not? What's the shaila? A katan is mechuyev midrabbanon, and the whole mikra Megillah is only midrabbanon. So he's mechuyev bedavar. So why can't he be moitzi the tzibur? He's on the same level chiyev as the rest of the tzibur. That's Taisus kasha. So Taisus says the katan is a trader rabban. Katan is only chinuch. Is the Rabbanon and Mikra Megillah is the Rabbanon, so it's a trade the Rabbanon is going to be Moitzi, one is only a Chad the Rabbanon. That's how Tosis writes. So others suggest another shot. It goes as follows. Rabbi Yehuda says, I was, before Bar Mitzvah, I was the Balkari and Rab Tarfon Shul. Ani Karisi Lifnei Rab Tarfon, and everybody was Yotze the Mikra Megillah. And they told the other Tanoim said, you must be making a mistake. It can't be. Rab Tarfon would never allow you to read the Megillah before Bar Mitzvah. So what's Taka the Din is a Kotan Shehigdil. A Kotan doesn't have the manus to say over a Din. What if a person is now Bar Mitzvah and he tells us what he remembers Bekatnusai? Does he have the manus or not? Does he have the manus or not? I remember a couple of years ago I went to Eretz Yisrael, so they took me to this Rabbi Machpud in Bnei Brak. So he was all kinds of traditions he was saying. I don't know, where is he from? Teimana or somewhere. I don't know where he's from. A big Tam Chochem, a colorful, very colorful person. So he was telling us about which locusts they used to eat in Altahem. So which grasshoppers are kosher, which are treif. So I said, when did you leave the Altahem? He says, before Bar Mitzvah. So I said, the din is you don't have namanas. The Mishnah says in the end of the second parak in Ksubis. Only on dinim derabbanon. On a din deraisa, he's not namus. I said a grasshopper, that's a din deraisa, whether you're allowed to eat it or not. So he says, well, his wife left after bas mitzvah. He'll ask his wife. He looks at his wife; she's not there. His wife is not home. So he says, he'll ask the next door neighbor. Next door neighbor just moved to Eretz Yisrael. He calls him the next door neighbor. He shows him the grasshopper. He says, did you eat this? He says, oh no, I never ate that. So he said, what do you mean? It's treif. He says, no, all the other Jews ate it. I didn't like it. So there's a Mishnah. The Mishnah in the end of the second parak in Ksubah says, a kotn shehigdil only has namonis on a din derabbanan. He doesn't have namonis on a din deraisa. So achreidim have a machlekes where the mikra megillah is a regular din derabbanan, or it's a higher level of a din derabbanan. Maybe it's called dibur kabbalah. Dibur kabbalah means a din derabbanan that has the approval of the Ruach HaKodesh because it's incorporated into the Kisvei HaKodesh. So here the problem is,
he doesn't have namonis legabi someone else. What about legabi himself?
Legabi himself, he gives unto hate. He can have namonis. But legabi others, he doesn't have namonis. So here, Rabbi Yehuda is now bar mitzvah, and he says, Ani karisi lefnei Rab Tarfon. I was the balkari by Rab Tarfon Shul, and everybody was yotzi, so you should believe me that a katan kalain. And he said, you don't have namonis. A Kotn Sheigdal doesn't have namonis. So what's Taka the Din? So a Kotn Sheigdal doesn't have namonis on a Din deraisa, but does have namonis on a Din derabbanan. So here, some want to say that this is the Machlekes Abiyun derabbanan, where the Mikra Megillah is a plain old Din derabbanan, Or maybe it's Dibre Kabbalah, which is Kedibre Torah Damya. So Rabbi Yudah held that Mikra Megillah is only Midirabbanon. So therefore the Kotn is Mukhi Midirabbanon. He can be Maitzi, everybody else who's Midirabbanon. And on a Dindirabbanon, the Kotn Shehigdil is Nemon. So he said, Lishitosa, he says, I read the Megillah, Bifnei Rab Tarfon, you have to believe me. And the Rabbanon disagree. They say, no, Mikra Megillah is Midirabbanon Kabbalah. So a cotton shehigdil, it's like a din deraisa. A cotton shehigdil doesn't have that manis, and because it's divrei kabbalah, and a cotton's only chiyuv midirabbanan, he's on a lower level chiyuv than the gedolim. The gedolim have a chiyuv midirabbanan kabbalah. The cotton's chiyuv is only midirabbanan. So some say that the two machlekes in Rabbi Yudah and Rabbanan are lishitasan. Whether the cotton shehigdil has that manis or not depends on this nekuda, whether mikra megillah is midirabbanan kabbalah midirabbanan. And there's etzim shayla where the cotton can lain to be moitzi the rabbim is the exact same shayla. Cotton's chiyuv chinuch is only with the rabbanon. So if the chiyuv of the tzibur is dibre kabbalah, so the rabbanon is called einim mechuyiv bedover vis-a-vis the dibre kabbalah. In Shulchan Aruch, it's a shayla how we should paskin. Two opinions. A cotton can sin don chanukah lech to be moitzi a gadol that we paskin that yes, cotton shigil chinuch can be moitzi a gadol b'hadlakas neres chanukah, and a cotton by mikra megillah. Is a machlokes if the cotton is gil lechina, can he be moitzah? No, we have to make sure we get a gadol to read the megillah. Amen. Amen. A good yar.
The Rob didn't have
sex?
No, my son covers his head all the time now when he's in Lakewood. And he says, look, we have this happy show with Farish and Mishnah Berurah that.
Now we got, you were not raising your hand before, were you?